You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show with me, Martin Hindley, and today's podcast is about one of the all-time greats of Welsh rugby.
Here's Shane Williams. Oh, can he gather? Yes, he can! Shane Williams! And the human scalpel has done it again!
As we celebrate 25 years of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup, we're going to hear from a man who scored tries for fun. He spent 9 years at Ospreys, making it to 3 quarterfinals in a row in European club rugby's greatest tournament. He became Wales' record try scorer and was, at one stage, officially the best player in the world. Joining me today to discuss his European Cup adventures is Shane Williams. Thanks for being with us, Shane. First of all, how does it feel to look back and to have the time now to reflect on all of the things that you achieved through your career?
Yeah, certainly had plenty of time to reflect on it, didn't I? But it's quite bizarre. It just goes so quickly. That's the problem. And even though there's no rugby being played at the moment, I'm still missing it. I'm missing the fact that I can't play it anymore at that level. And but good times, some good games, some, you know, some heartbreakers, but some euphoria at the same time as well. So fond memories of it all.
Now, the Heineken Champions Cup has been running for 25 years. We'll get into your story very shortly. But first, right from the outset at Neath, what does the competition mean to you?
Yeah, I think it's just the elite, isn't it? It's the elite competition at club and regional level. You know, I joined Neath in the 99 season. And straight away, I was thrown in the deep end. You know, one of my first games was Perpignan away from home. You know, a couple of Beiro and players like that were playing. And I just barely come out of a Division 4 West side in Wales. So, you know, I got thrown in the deep end, but I absolutely loved it. I couldn't get over the standard of the rugby, the quality of the players that I was actually facing, you know, international players. And I fell in love with European and Heineken Cup rugby straight away. And I wanted more. And so, you know, to be playing against the best in the world, best teams in the world and Europe was huge. And I just got addicted after that. And every time Neath played in the cup, in the Heineken Cup, I wanted to play. Wasn't the case because I was a rookie coming in. I was probably the third choice scrum half at that time, fourth even. And I had to fight my way to get back into the team. But absolutely loved it.
You mentioned your time at Neath and starting out there. I mean, what did it mean to the community, to the club, not just at Neath, but in Pontypridd, Bridgend, etc., back in those days, to welcome European heavyweights to your turf?
Yeah, I think it was just a challenge to the you know, the regions and the clubs, wasn't it? Because, you know, we've got such a big tradition of rugby in Wales. You know, you have your rivalries, you have your Scarlets and your Swansea's rivalry, obviously Neath and Llanelli and Scarlett. You've got your Newport and Cardiff, Pontypridd, so on and so forth, the Pontypool. So huge history, huge rivalry within the valleys. So when you had teams like Toulouse come in and playing in Ebbw Vale, or you had, you know, the likes of Leicester or someone coming down, it was just a massive challenge for these clubs because traditionally Wales have always been very strong, haven't they, in a club sense. So yeah, it you know, it used to bring huge numbers to the crowds, and the crowds wanted to see the best players in the world play against their teams to see what they were made of. And we've seen some classics over the years, haven't you? Whether it be Toulouse against Scarlets, or the old Breves against the Battle of Breve, of course, and you get Pontypridd, and Cardiff's doing really well in the competition. So it was just, I think it was just seen as a massive challenge, and you know, almost like, right, we're good. Let's see what the rest of the world has got, or the rest of Europe has got, I suppose. So it was always a big occasion, you know, these European clashes.
You joined Ospreys in 2003, back at the start of the Welsh regions coming into being. Do you remember what kind of a role Europe made in the planning for the region back then?
Yeah, obviously, it was an important time when the clubs became the regions. You know, not everyone was for it. So people are still against, you know, the regions. They still want the club sides to prosper and do well. And we're very traditional and fickle in Wales in that sense. But, you know, it had to work. You know, a lot of investment had gone into it. A lot of moving players from clubs have gone into it. So it was a big restructure in Wales. And a big part of the restructure was these regions doing particularly well in Europe. For financial gains, you know, the better you do in Europe, the more money you get into these clubs. And of course, we had to prove that these regions were working. So it was a, you know, huge period in Welsh rugby where we had to prove that putting these players and these teams together, we were able to compete against the best. And it hasn't always been the case, and certainly wasn't the case back in the day, because, you know, you were playing against teams like Toulouse and, like I said earlier, Leicester, and these teams that had been together for a long time, traditionally were very successful in Europe and had some of the best players in the world playing in their team. So it was very difficult. And, you know, I remember my first Heineken Cup, you know, as a regent, it was a very difficult competition for us, and it wasn't a successful one. So all of a sudden you've got all people pointing at you saying, well, we knew this regional rugby wasn't going to work, let's go back and get our clubs back. So it was important to get it right.
Towards the end of the noughties, there was a real purple patch for the Welsh regions in Europe. Obviously, you made the three quarterfinals in a row. Cardiff Blues got to within a penalty shootout of getting to a final in 2009, and then won the Challenge Cup the year after. Did you feel at that point that it was starting to come together? And of course, coming so soon after you were the first Welshman to be named the World Player of the Year as well. It was a great time for Welsh rugby, all told.
Yeah, I think we were starting to get there. I think in the financial side, there was a bit more money within the regions. A lot of the regions done particularly well. Yeah, obviously, everyone remembers the Leicester and the Cardiff shootout. What a way to get knocked out. But again, very entertaining, and people still talk about that as we are now. So, you know, Llanelli done particularly well as well. As an Osprey, with the Galactico team we had, we still kick ourselves. We still felt, you know, when we speak about the Biarritz game, we should have won that match and would have gone on and won the competition. So, yeah, it did seem to be a period in Welsh rugby where, you know, we had the players, we had the talent within the squads, we were playing some good rugby domestically, and we were beating teams like Toulouse, Leicester, etc. So it seemed to be going in the right direction. Yeah, that was the purple patch, certainly, for the regions, and probably where, I'm talking from experience, we massively underachieved.
In 2007-08 season, that was the first of those sort of three quarterfinals, losing to narrowly to Saracens, and then Munster the year after. You mentioned the Biarritz match there, but do you feel as a region that you'd had some lessons from those matches that then perhaps made the Biarritz day one that could have been your day?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we massively underachieved anyway leading up to Biarritz, but the year before, we played Saracens just after the Six Nations in the Millennium Stadium, and, you know, we absolutely walloped them. And then the following week, we knew we were playing them away from home in Europe. And I think we just expected the result to go the same way. You know, we were very naive in that sense. We went up there, we tried playing champagne rugby, which, you know, isn't always the case at that kind of stage in Heineken Cup rugby that you have to play. And we were humbled by a very good Saracens side, but with a very good Saracens side that we'd probably played the week before. So we thought we'd learned our lesson there. We knew that when you go away from home, it's a different story. Perhaps you don't have the rub of the green sometimes with the referees. Perhaps the home crowd can get on your back and kind of disrupt you in that sense. And it stung, it hurt, you know. So we went away from there. We thought we'd learned from that experience. We had a particularly successful group stage then the following year. And we go away from home, playing a Biarritz side that probably weren't the Biarritz side of, you know, of a couple of years before. And we probably did exactly the same as we did against Saracens, and underestimated the team, you know, made a lot of mistakes. I made an awful attempt to tackle Gwenya. There was a couple of things didn't go away, referee indecisions, etc. And again, we came home with our tail between our legs.
Lore winning it on the floor. Here goes Damian Try. Now here is Ngwenya. First time into the game. The electric American. And he's showing that electricity here. He's showing loads of electricity. And Ngwenya, the flash dancer, goes down gasoline alley and destroys the Ospreys there.
We look at the squad we had in that Osprey team, was definitely good enough to win that match. And, you know, for me personally, that is the game that stands out for me as one of the worst days in my rugby career, because I made a lot of mistakes. And when you get to that stage in a competition, you make those mistakes, you'll get punished by a good team, and that's what happened.
It was absolutely baking hot over in the north of Spain in the Anoeta that day. It never felt like Ospreys were overawed by the challenge. Was that because you believed that Biarritz weren't at their best at that point, even though they were to go on and reach the final of the tournament that season?
Yeah, we followed the success through the competition. you know, Biarritz are a very good side, and they're an experienced side that have got to that kind of stage before. And I think that was just the difference. You know, we looked at our players individually. We felt we had the better of them. We felt we'd been playing better in the group stages. And, you know, we thought that we had the right mindset to go away from home and make it difficult for them. And we did in patches of the game. But, you know, there was, like I say, we go back to the mistakes and discipline in areas sometimes. And that was our downfall. But we went over there knowing what the conditions were going to be like, really thinking, well, these are perfect conditions for the players we've got. And at times we played a little bit too much. You know, we just lost that game tactically, I think. And, you know, we could have, if we'd have played that game every day of that week, we'd have won six of those games, I believe. You know, we really were that good and good enough to do it. So those are the games that really sting, because you're not beaten by a team that's more skillful or better or more physically than you on the field. You're beaten by a team that's got the experience to win these matches when it's tight. And we didn't learn from the year before. So that one really stings in that sense. And that year was probably the highlight year of the Ospreys, where we were playing really good rugby. We had great players in that squad. I looked around in that on that dressing room and I was like, how do we lose that game with the players we got in this changing room?
And the drop goal attempt from Dan Bigger is short. It's short. And Biarritz have won the game. It's going to be a controversial closing to this game, because the Ospreys thought they had a penalty coming, but they didn't.
That already seems remarkable that it was a decade ago that match took place. It feels like yesterday. But in your work as a commentator and a pundit and the work that you've done in media, how have you seen the tournament develop over the course of the 10 years since?
Yeah, well, obviously off the field, it's a bigger animal, isn't it? It's you know, commercially bigger and probably has a lot more coverage, etc., from clubs and regions and the media, which is ideal, which is great and good to see. So in that sense of it, you know, you got your biggest superstars across Europe. You've got players from all over the world that are playing in this fantastic competition and want to come to clubs to play in that competition, which is great and very fitting. On the field, it doesn't seem to have changed that much in the way that teams play. The most successful teams are the teams that have learned over the years how to win tight matches. You know, the Leinsters, the Munsters, you know, teams like Saracens, who don't particularly have to play very good rugby, but can win a one or two pointer in the dying minutes without panicking. And in that sense, that's how the rugby has gone. But what I enjoy about the Heineken Cup now is that you're getting players from all around the world, from all walks of life that are playing that competition, that really love playing that competition, because you're playing against the best players in the world. You know, you're able to compete in that sense. And teams want this competition more than ever. You know, Heineken Cup and the Champions Cup, you know, is a big part in rugby history, and everyone wants to win it. So, you know, you've got players now who are playing in the competition, best players in the world, Radra, players like that, and that I enjoy watching. So the rugby, I think, really hasn't changed. And that's why I enjoy watching it. It reminds me of when I was playing. And it reminds me of the feeling I had when, you know, you're watching quarterfinals, semi-finals, and seeing these players go toe-to-toe. And it's an exciting competition. It really is.
What do you enjoy the most about your work in the media these days, Shane?
I just enjoy being at the grounds. I enjoy taking in the atmosphere. One of the things I miss about playing rugby is the camaraderie, the atmosphere at stadiums, you know, being there amongst the players and the fans. And I suppose the closest you get to that when you retire is actually doing the commentary and the punditry. I love being sat in the gantry there amongst all the fans and everything, taking the atmosphere in and just basically having a chat for a game with the experts, with the commentators and the co-commentators, and basically just speaking my mind and speaking into a mic as I would if I was watching it in the house or in a pub with my mates. It's fun. You know, it is fun in that sense, because I don't feel the pressure anymore. I certainly, it's not as physical as it used to be, but sat there with the fans and speaking about the game and enjoying the experience and seeing how rugby's moved on and watching the best players in the world and the best teams do their stuff, you know, it's probably as exciting as it's going to get for me now. So I enjoy that side of it. But, you know, you ask any rugby player that's retired, do they miss it? I can promise you they'll miss it to the day they die.
I'm going to put you on the spot with a couple of questions now, Shane, especially about your history in what was the Heineken Cup. The greatest player that you played against?
Oh God, I think you know. I look at the teams I played against, and someone I played against twice that I was a big fan of was Jason Robertson. You know, we had a couple of matchups. You know, he was obviously playing at Sale. He had the likes of Cueto there as well, who was also very good. He had Sebastian Chabal. You know, there was some team. But Jason Robertson's one of the best players I've played against, club level or international, and I was a big fan of him before he come, you know, switched cords, sorry. And I was a big fan of him growing up. So I was always a bit nervous when I had to play against him, but I enjoyed the challenge.
And who's the greatest player that you've played with?
It's, again, very tough. I think it would probably, at Heineken Cup level, would be someone like Philo Tiatia at the Ospreys. You know, he was a player that he always gave 100% without doubt, but he seemed to double in size when we ever played against the elite teams then, you know, the Toulouses or, you know, the Clermont Auvergnes or the Leicesters. You know, he was an absolute animal. And I just remember him, you know, throwing Castro Giovanni around the field there at the Liberty Stadium. And I was thinking, oh my God, I am so glad this man is in my team. I would never want to play against this guy. Absolute animal. But, you know, you look around in the changing rooms and you're going to play against a Leicester or Clermont Auvergne or Munster, whoever it is, and you can see him in the corner, it gives you a lot of confidence, I can assure you.
What's the stadium that you've enjoyed playing in the most in the tournament?
Yeah, brilliant. God, great question. Look, obviously playing at home is key. It is key to success there. But obviously, in the early days, I remember beating Harlequins up there, up in London. And that was a great atmosphere. I think, you know, the English Premiership always have big crowds. It's always quite an intimidating place to go and play. But they also do respect teams that turn up to the Stoop and want to play rugby. And I remember one of, you know, was it 2004? I might be wrong. 2004, maybe we went up there and didn't have a really successful Heineken Cup campaign. But we went up there and we beat Harlequins up in London, and that was a huge performance. You had players like Gavin Henson who played extremely well, people like Adrian Durston on the day that played well, and we did a little bit better after that. You know, we were a bit more confident travelling away from home then.
You mentioned the likes of Clermont, obviously the star-studded Ospreys team that you were such a part of. There are so many great teams that have played in the Heineken Champions Cup history. Only 11 clubs have actually won it. 11 different clubs have lifted the trophy. For you, what is the greatest team that ever took the field in the Heineken Champions Cup?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a really difficult question because, you know, you look at the success Toulon have had in the latter end of the Heineken Cup with the real Galacticos then. You know, you've got to give them credit for that. Munster, for me, you know, personally, were always the most difficult to play against in the Heineken Cup. In fact, we had a couple of proper ridings off Munster. But I think Leinster would be up there with them now. You know, again, you look at the players they've had and whether it be O'Driscoll, of course, Sexton and these guys who, again, remind me of a Munster probably 10 years ago where they go into a game, it doesn't matter who they're playing, you know they're going to grind out the win. It doesn't always have to be pretty, it doesn't always have to be clever. It could be a couple of three-pointers from Sexton or whomever's playing and they win that match. So I think consistently it would be a coin flip between Munster and Leinster. Just really get Europe, really get and know when to play their best rugby and knew how to grind out wins.
Shane, I can hear the passion in your voice and the way that you speak about European club rugby and your experiences in it. The last difficult question, your best memory?
Yeah, look, yes, my best memory has been the whole of it, to be honest with you. You know, it pretty much sums up my international and club career where it's been a roller coaster. I've had my ups and downs, you know, I've lost in big games. We've won some huge games as well. Like I said earlier, the Harlequins away from home in my early Heineken Cup experience was a great learning curve for me and a great experience and really got the Heineken Cup train going. But I think one of my favourite games was Sale at home. I think we're going to narrowly miss out on qualifying anyway. But we played a good Sale team at the Liberty, you know, Charlie Hodgson, again, Robinson. You had the likes of Chabal who playing, who was an absolute animal. And I just remember the last kind of 20-25 phases of that game. You know, the final whistle had gone and We were just throwing the ball around, just thinking, right, okay, we've got nothing to lose here, guys. Just keep hold of the ball. Don't make a mistake. Let's get a 7-pointer on the board to win the match. And we eventually did it. And again, I was on the end of a pass there to finish it. And I just remember getting the ball over the line, thinking, right, Shane, get as close to those posts as you can, because this is a big kick for Hookie. He's a young lad. You know, he might be a bit nervous taking this one. And if he kicks it, we win it. So that was a big game for us. Not only, again, in the sense of getting us anywhere in the competition, not really, but in the sense of giving us confidence, giving the home crowd something to kind of enjoy against a star-studded team. And, you know, we went on and won the match from me scoring that game and Hookie kicking the goal. And the ironic thing was then that that's where we got all our confidence from. And then we went up to Sale and beat Sale away from home. So, but it was all too little too late, unfortunately. But I just remember really enjoying that game and just thinking to myself, why didn't we play like this at the start of the competition?
Well, Shane, it's been absolutely brilliant to relive your experiences in what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. And whether it's through media or in whatever walk of rugby, we're looking forward to hearing plenty more from you in the future. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. No, thank you. Thanks for your time.
Wonderful to walk back down memory lane there with Shane Williams on those star-studded Ospreys sides and the quarterfinal heartbreak that followed in what was then the Heineken Cup. Please subscribe to our Champions Rugby Show podcast feed and let us know which players you want to come on the show next to share their stories from a quarter of a century of club rugby's greatest tournament. Until then, from all of the team, see you next time. Goodbye.